for me, it made me really more well-rounded being a dad.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. And so it just enjoy as a new parent, just enjoy the experience of those sleepless nights, because that goes away and eventually you'll miss it.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
This week's The Art of Fatherhood podcast is being brought to you by Codecademy. Codecademy has a goal to give anyone in the world the ability to learn the skills they need to succeed in the 21st century. They set out to create new interactive ways of learning, making it engaging, flexible, and accessible for as many people as possible. Their mission is to create a world where anyone can build something meaningful with technology. Everyone has the learning tools, resources, and opportunities to do so. Code contains a world of possibilities. All that's required is curiosity and the drive to learn. At Codecademy, they are committed to empowering all people regardless of where they are in their coding journeys to continue to learn, grow, and make an impact on the world around them. Make sure you go to artoffatherhood.net to check out my interview. Michael Cruz, who is a dad who lost his job in 2019, started with Codecademy to learn how to code and now has a job, and he's teaching his skills that he learned to his kids so they can learn to code as well. To learn how you can join the millions of people worldwide Codecademy has helped learn to code, go to Codecademy.com. That's Codecademy.com. What's up, everyone? Art Eddie here for the Art of Fatherhood podcast online. I'm happy to have Phil Weinstein. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me. Phil, how you doing, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Doing really well. Looking forward to chatting with you, of course, about fatherhood and on your new show, Mickey Mouse Funhouse. It's going to be airing, of course, on Disney Junior and Disney Channel. The Mickey the Brave is going to premiere July 16th at 7:30. We'll put up links in our show notes section where you guys can check out that show. Before we get into that sweet show that's coming up, let's talk a little about fatherhood. I love bringing dads like yourself on, talking about their fatherhood journey. So when you found out you're going to be dad for the first time, Phil, what was going through your mind, sir?
You know, there was a lot going through my head. It was a strange year because I had been a storyboard artist for a really long time. And I got a nice promotion, my first opportunity to direct. It was on the Hercules TV series. And that same year, I won an Emmy for some storyboard work I did on a Winnie the Pooh special. And my first son was born all at the same time. So it was a strange, interesting... You know, birth of my son was way better than any of that other stuff. And
yeah,
now he's just out of college. So he's in the working world.
Nice. Of course, you said like the best thing, of course, was your son being born. But that's a good trifecta right there, right? All the different things happening, winning the Emmy Award, starting a new show. And of course, bringing your son into this world. That's fantastic. And of course, you know, especially in your industry, sir, you got to have hard work. So I know that's a core value you were looking to instill into your kids as they were growing up. Talk about some of the other core values you were looking to instill into them.
So I moved to California. I didn't have any family out here, no cousins or anything close by. So, you know, it was really important for me to have this kind of like moral grounding for the kids, because we just didn't have, you know, unless we got on a plane and flew to see my family all the way back east, we really didn't. And we did, but it wasn't like having the cousins in the neighborhood or anything like that. So we do have a little bit of extended family down in Irvine, which is about 45 minutes south, that we would see occasionally. So as parents, we never went out when our kids were little. We never had babysitters. You know, we just stayed with them. So that was kind of like, we just wanted to spend as much time with them as we could and not like, you know, pawn them off because we were excited to try a new restaurant or whatever. And we figured out eventually, but eventually that'll happen. And that's happened. I have two kids. Two boys, and one, like I said, is in the working world, and one is a college guy, but online because of COVID. Yeah. And so all those things that we sort of put off, we could do now. My wife and I can go out for a special night or get away for an overnight. They're old enough, and it's fine.
Nice, man. I appreciate the honesty, and I appreciate, you know, I think you're, you know, my wife and I kind of do the same thing where I became the stay-at-home dad, left my radio career, and, you know, we didn't want to do the daycare route. Not saying it's like every family, you do your own thing, what's good for you, but we were kind of in the same boat. We were like, we want to be there for our kids. And, you know, I started, kind of writing and doing podcasting just because I love the, you know, the whole radio aspect of things. So, yeah, I mean, you kind of find a way and things happen for a reason. So I love that. And,
you know, when we were looking up to our parents, we always felt like they had the answers. And when you become parents, you're like, I don't have a clue on what's going on, but I got to fake it till I make it, right?
But right.
They're always, you know, our kids are looking to us for life lessons or values, whatever the case may be. But we learn from them just as much as they learn from us. So would you like to share something you learned about life or about yourself from your kids, something that your kids have taught you about yourself or about life in general that you could share with me, sir?
I think every parent that has more than one kid has the same experience where you have the first one and you go, got it, got the hole, got the drill, I get it. And then the second one comes along and they're totally different, completely different. They're like, there's like the personality is like baked in. And it's like, well, I don't know what I'm doing. It's like completely. I think there's this kind of like level of like listening and understanding that you get from that experience. Like, I take this to work with me too, is that I'll have an opinion creatively about something, but it doesn't mean that my point of view is the right way. It's just my point of view. And I feel like I learned that from my kids. And so it helps in a creative setting to not feel like I have to like dictate my vision, because it's not, you know, it's always should be the best idea in the room wins. It's not my way or the highway. And it makes for a better show overall when you have that collaboration, when everybody feels like they can contribute creatively and not feel like they're going to get in trouble with the boss or get fired or whatever. So that I really feel like I took that away from the experience of my two kids' different personalities.
That is fantastic. Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, man. Like, you know, they always say sometimes like the first child is a sucker baby because things might go easier than you thought in the second one. Like,
yeah, right.
You know, it's like up late nights or, you know, acid reflux or just whatever the case may be, right? Some like minor stuff. We're not talking about major stuff, but it's minor stuff. Like, oh, and then like we always realize too, it's like I have two older sisters and our personalities are different, but for some reason, my kids, they're going to be the exact same. And the fact that you applied what you learned from your kids into your job and making it a more welcoming, you know, just environment, like, hey, this is my idea, but what are you guys' thoughts? And then you guys share that. And like you said, you go with the best one that you guys can agree on. So that is fantastic. And I think, you know, it's great that, you know, like I said, you applied that to, you know, your career. And one more question before we get into Mickey Mouse Funhouse for new dads listening to this, right? What is one big piece of advice you'd like to offer to them?
Gosh, I don't know. It's well, you probably know this as a dad. It's an ever evolving process. So there's the sleeplessness in the beginning, and then, but then when they're grown up and when they're grown up, it's like a different set of, I don't want to say problems because it's all good, but it's just different. It's not like it goes, oh, they're all grown up, it's fine now. Totally not. But for me, it made me really more well-rounded being a dad.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes any sense. And so it just enjoy as a new parent, just enjoy the experience of those sleepless nights, because that goes away and eventually you'll miss it.
Yeah.
I used to make breakfast for my kids every morning. You know, I would make breakfast every day while they were in grade school. And it was kind of a hassle, but now I kind of miss it. So, you know, so just enjoy the ride.
You know, it's funny you say that, because my kids are now 13 and going to be 11 later this month. I have two daughters and I'm a very routine person. I think when you're a new parent, routine is key for the kids. Like, you know, bath time at this time helps them go to bed and all this other stuff, right? And then like just for me, like I always have been like that routine type of person with certain things with work or just whatever the case may be. And you're right, like you miss that time. And also make breakfast for my kids, maybe now in the summer since they don't have school. We were kind of doing the virtual thing as well. So you're just like, I want to make you that egg sandwich. Don't worry about it. You go, you know, you just go relax. You're on summer vacation. So
right.
I agree with you. Enjoy that moment, every moment. And you have different stages, right? You know, it's the point where when they were really young, maybe their bedtime was 7:30. Now with my kids' ages, 9:30, 10 o'clock, my wife are like, oh, after they go to bed, like, all right, we're going to bed now too, right?
So when you had your radio career, did you have any jobs with like odd hours where you were like, you know, doing some 7 to midnight shift or anything crazy like that? Where you're
thankfully before, like because in any industry, especially, you know, this, sir, like you have to pay your dues. And when I finally got into the right direction for radio, I was like manning. This is before, like, yeah, there was internet, of course, but like I'd say like early, like 2005, 2006, like I was manning the phones and taking care of like the snow closings for not just schools, but businesses. And I was paying my dues. And my daughter wasn't born at the time. My oldest is born in 2008, but I was producing a morning show, but there were certain times we would do certain things and you're just at like different times. And when I went to New York City, I was like doing some work at a Goo Goo Dolls concert, and the LIRR just like completely shut down because it got like one of the transformers got hit by a lightning, So I'm stuck at like 3 a.m. on this train with some of the other promotion people on the radio. And we're like, what do we do? And so we get a taxi, and then like, I get home, I'm living in New Jersey, take the train and then like brush my hair, like, you know, brush my teeth, take a shower, kiss everybody, and then go back into work. I'm like, what just happened?
Okay. So now you got to tell me, cause I don't know. What is an LIRR?
It's the Long Island Railroad. That's our train system. Okay. And like, like you would think with all this technology, and again, I'm not blaming it on people, but just like technology. And I'm sorry, I'm going off on something, but, I always hated taking the train, but it was a lot easier going in instead of like driving into New York City. But that it wasn't like I got into the number one market. I was so excited, but then like my family life and just things around me weren't like up to snuff. And since my daughter was going to be born at the time, I'm like, I'm going to go back to the radio station in New Jersey. And they heard I was leaving, like, of course we want you back. So I was doing some other things like in the promotion side there. So it felt, you know, again, things happen for a reason. And when our second daughter came around, I was like, all right, I'm going to be the stay-at-home dad, and I'll do stuff around, you know, with them first. And once I get settled, I'll start, you know, going back into the career world, so to speak. Right.
Right. Right. Yeah. No, it's a good move.
Again, so thanks for sharing your fatherhood journey. I want to talk to you about Mickey Mouse Funhouse. And anytime you hear like Mickey Mouse and of course, you know, Disney Junior, Disney Channel, the iconic like hot dog, hot diggity dog comes to mind. And I think these shows are great. And, you know, of course you got the classic characters, not just, you know, Mickey, but his whole crew. Talk a little bit about what this, you know, what the series is about and what fans, you know, from, of course, Disney and just the fans of Mickey can expect with this new series, sir.
Kind of the whole Disney Junior network started with Mickey Mouse Clubhouse. And it was, it's a wonderful show. And it's very kind of learning focused, and it had a certain kind of pace to it. It's still beloved. I see it's really always, even on Disney Plus today, it's still highly rated. And so the next iteration of that was something that was, I think, maybe slightly older, a little more faster paced. That was Mickey and the Roadster Racers, which kind of got relabeled in the third season as Mickey's Mixed Up Adventures. It was just sort of like season three of Mickey and the Roadster Racers. And so I think the thinking was let's see if we can find something that's right in the middle, right in between sort of the pacing of a Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and that kind of slower educational stuff and the faster pace of Roadster Racers. And for me in particular, we were looking for something that was more magical and more whimsical. So where Roadster Racers is so sort of photorealistic and hyperreal race cars, you know, this is more like the magic you experience at the theme park at Disneyland. And if you, I don't know if you saw any of it, but it's definitely inspired by the art direction of that stuff. So the question was, how do we get there? So there's this long established town in Roadster Racers called Hot Dog Hills. And we thought, well, this magical experience can't happen there. They got to go somewhere. So the idea is that they would travel to this place called Funhouse Forest, and they meet this kind of magical talking house named Funny. And Funny is kind of the portal to these adventures in different worlds. So it leans into that kind of magical experience. So that was kind of that's kind of what it is. So it's still Mickey and the gang.
Yeah.
And now they have this house named Funny. Funny has a little doghouse named Teddy, a little pet. And they got a little magical weather vane named Windy, and they go to the house and they go off on these really fantasy style adventures, and they're very sweet. And we also have signature songs that hopefully will live up to you know, the hot dog dance someday.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it is.
Nice, man. Yeah. You know, watching this, like, especially, you know, with the weather vane named Windy, going back to my radio days, we'd always joke, like, cause I was kind of like, even besides the producer, I was like the sidekick, like, you know, guy to make fun of and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And when we came up with certain things, and like, for some reason, if we talked about mascots or something, I'd always end something with a Y, and it always be like, you're always just adding a Y to something. So the fact I saw that, I kind of, you know, I can't wait to text my friend about the idea of, like, you know, Windy and all that stuff. I know he's going to get a kick out of it. and of course, it's great animation. You gotta love all the artwork and all that goes into it. But for me, people know that, you know, listen to The Art of Father and just, you know, my fatherhood podcast series, I'm a big fan of voice actors. I think they do so much great, you know, work, and like their talent is just fantastic. Talk a little bit about you guys creating that cast. Talked about, like, you know, how you and your team went about casting the show?
Yeah, well, most of the main cast, they're the returning iconic voices. You know, some relatively newer ones, but not that new. We still have the iconic voice of Donald, Tony Anselmo, who's been doing it for 30 plus years, and Bill Farmer, who does Goofy and Pluto, and Caitlin Robrick is our newer voice of Minnie, but she's been around. I mean, she was around for Roadster Racers, and Brett Iwan for Mickey. So we have all those folks. The big one was Funny, was a new character, and you know, we knew that Funny, we didn't want it to be a parent. You know, or a teacher, you know, and I loved like the Bear in the Big Blue House, you know, that hello bear, that really warm voice. But this house, Funny, needs to be like a peer, a friend to Mickey, not a grown up to Mickey. And so that's what we were looking for, something that was kind of had a sweet sort of tender voice. I'm personally a little sensitive to some of the sort of abrasive kind of little kid voices that you hear, that I hear sometimes in cartoons. They're not really reflective of real life, you know? But they're just, it's just somebody's idea of what a kid would sound like. So I really wanted to avoid that. And that's where, that was kind of the target we were looking for when we ended up with Harvey Guillen, who does the voice of Funny. He just had that, just some sweetness and a playfulness in his voice that seemed like he would fit well with the rest of the gang.
No doubt. Phil, again, you know, you're no stranger to this world of animation. And of course, like I said, you won an Emmy Award and you've been on countless series. And just to hear that answer about like, how you take a deep dive and look at everything. You're like, all right, you've seen like the tiny voice, because I'm like the little guy that talks like this, and there's a big guy that talks like that, right? So there's always that thing. And you're like, no, we're going to kind of go get, you know, flip the script on that. So I love that. And I think that goes, you know, that's a credit to you and your team. Talk a little bit about your creative process and how you approached, you know, did you approach this series different than other ones, or was it kind of the same, you know, formula that you kind of do each time you start a new animated series? I love getting the creative process of people like you who are, you know, who come up and, you know, create a team that has so many great ideas and all that stuff and makes a successful show. Kind of like share with me your creative process when it comes to starting a show like this.
Well, I think for me, like the big idea for this series is when you're in the Disney Junior space, obviously you want to, you know, we have a very young audience. And so there's a lot of oversight within the company to make sure that there's social emotional messages that are built in and that it's appropriate and there isn't any inappropriate language, that it feels, you know, right for the company, which is totally fine. And so there's a lot of that. And then for me personally, you know, I wanted to make a show that had kind of a new look in terms of art direction and was really entertaining for that young audience. But I also wanted it to be entertaining for us grownups who are making the show.
My man,
You know, I just don't like the idea of like talking down to kids. I feel like it could be totally, I mean, I love adult stuff as much as anybody else, but for this particular show, I want it to be a show that everybody can watch and really enjoy. It's not like, oh, put the kids in front of this show, but I want them hopefully to be entertained just as well. So that was where it sort of started. And so you're always kind of trying to find this balancing act of not being too cynical, you know, with some of the dialogue, but also keeping it funny so that a grown-up would laugh at the right moment, or if there's a little inside Disney kind of joke, you know, that we have that kind of stuff inserted all over like the pilot in the series. And then sweet so that it carries those deeper messages for the little ones as well.
Nice. Yeah, again, there's just a lot of thought that goes into it, a lot of layers for the show, and I appreciate that. I think a lot of parents, moms and dads listen to this right now would be like, thank you, Phil, for something that we – because, like, here's the thing, like, especially with – the digital world. And I'll admit, like, if we watch a movie, if my kids like watch, you know, want to watch something again, and it's like, all right, I've seen this before, I might just kind of go on my iPad and either like check the mail or whatever the case may be. But part of this, one of the things too, I felt like when, you know, for the sweet spot for the, you know, for kids this age, for this series, for Mickey Mouse Funhouse, it's like, you know, it's like between like, I'd say like 2, 3, all the way up to 7, 8. Right. And that's the point where I think, like you said, you don't talk down to kids, you're talking to them. There were certain times, like after watching shows on, like, you know, on Disney Channel or Disney Junior with my kids when they were that age, I'm like, what'd you think about that? Who was your favorite character? What do you think they were kind of trying to tell you, right? Not like get like, not like have them fill out a questionnaire, but like just kind of talk and see what they're doing, because you want to know, like, you, I might see, like, oh, they're talking about caring in this episode or sharing something new. Like, they got a new toy, just, you know, just throwing an example out there. And, like, oh, well, it was great to see, you know, Mickey sharing this new thing that he got with Minnie and Donald or something like that. Like, all right, cool, they're picking up on it. And then they'll, sometimes they'll pick up something that you might not even picked up too. But having the fact that, like, you have creating a show that'll be engaging not just to kids but also to parents – it's a kind of a great way, and I encourage, like, parents to, again, not give them a true or false or a fill in the blank test, but just talk about, like, hey, what was your favorite part of the episode, or what was, like, what was so funny to you, or what did you learn from it? Because it just kind of gives them that, like, idea of, like, thinking outside the box and not just taking it in, but watching a show and seeing, you know, what they get out of it. So I appreciate the fact that you want to bring kids to the show, but also parents. So thank you, Phil.
Yeah, we try. We're trying.
Nice, man. And of course, before we, the Fatherhood Quick Five, I, you know, kind of reading up on you and your, and your, you know, your background, I heard you had a great story, like a fun family history on Mandelbrot. And of course, like, I think cooking and recipes are a great way to link generations to generations. So can you kind of share that story? Because I think my audience would appreciate it, man.
Sure. So do you know what that is? Do you know what Mandelbrot is?
Yeah, it's kind of like biscotti. It's kind of like a hard cookie, yeah. Right?
Yep, exactly. It's very, very similar to biscotti. It's not as quite as crispy, but it's like a Jewish biscotti. So when I was a kid, you know, a big extended family where I grew up back east in Maryland and Washington D.C. area, and we would go all the time to cousins and aunts and uncles. And I had my Aunt Irma, who lived by herself in this little house on Elm Street. And Aunt Irma's contribution to the potlucks at every event was Mandelbrot. So she had this recipe that was passed down from my grandmother, who was. She passed away before I was born, so I never knew her. So I always knew it as Aunt Irma's Mandelbrot, this cookie. And so some years later, I thought, you know, everybody always liked it. Nobody really knew what it was, but they always liked it when I bring it to work. It was almost like my calling card. If I go to a voice record or go to a design meeting or whatever, I always bring some Mandelbrot with me. I was like the guy carrying this stuff. So I thought, yeah, I wonder if I could commercialize this product. I knew nothing about the food business, by the way.
Yeah.
And so I kind of went down this journey and actually we were in about 11 Whole Foods markets for a time in the Los Angeles area. And nice. I used to tell Aunt Irma, Aunt Irma's no longer with us, but when she was still alive, I used to say, Aunt Irma, your Mandelbrot is really popular in Beverly Hills. It would always sell out of the Beverly Hills Whole Foods market. And it kind of worked because I was still working in animation, and it was the food business kind of is a funny business because it's an early morning business. So I could take my Aunt Irma's Mandelbrot, my packaged product, and I could go and basically pitch it to stores. Usually they like that kind of stuff at 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I drive all over LA. I could do my sort of food business stuff, and I'd be back to work before anybody was even aware.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I ran it for a few years, and then I was like, well, this is either probably, you know, you were at that point too in your career where I was like, well, this is either, I either jump and try to make this go full time or I just say goodnight. So we closed the business, I think it was 3 years ago, but everybody still asks me about Aunt Irma's Mandelbrot, and we still have all the tools to make it, my, you know, the big clunky equipment. So I'll bring it into, you know, holiday parties and stuff. Nice. At the office now.
Phil, I love that. Thanks for sharing. Yeah. And again, like my first job, when I was in high school was working at a grocery store, and sometimes I'd shadow like the receiver who brings the stuff in, and bread, they'd like, you have to come at 5 a.m. I'm like, what? And like, you see like right. bread trucks, you know, donuts, all that different stuff coming in and being like, hey, we're dropping stuff off. And if you bring some samples, people love you like on that. So I feel you on that, Phil. So thank you very much for sharing that. Appreciate you talking about fatherhood. That great story about Mandelbrot, and of course, the great work and the great series that people are going to be able to check out over at Disney Channel and Disney Junior. Of course, Mickey Mouse, Funhouse. We're going to finish off with the Fatherhood Quick Five. You ready, sir?
Okay.
Favorite family movie right now. And again, I know one's out in the real world, one's still in college. But maybe for the holidays, is there a family movie you guys like to watch together?
Well, we've probably watched Coco a half a dozen times. Nice. That's our favorite.
Nice. Good movie right there. Favorite family song maybe back in the day, or was there an artist you couldn't wait to introduce your kids to when they got to a certain age to appreciate it?
Oh man, I don't know. That's a tricky one. They,
or
I don't know. I'll come back to that.
Yeah. With God, you can also flip the script. Is there like a band that maybe one of your kids introduce you to that you appreciate. Because there's a couple of guys being like, yeah, you know, back in the day, maybe if like, you know, it's a bit inspired this or that. But like now they actually are the ones like telling me about music. So we'll come back to that.
Answer that side of it. My son introduced me to Post Malone.
Oh, okay. Nice.
And I was like, wow, he's kind of awesome. He kept talking about this guy. I was like, who's this guy with the weird name? But man, what a phenomenal artist.
No doubt. I think the song Circles, like one time we're just sitting in the car and my daughters and I were going somewhere and my youngest, when that song came on the radio, she started doing an impression of him and just like cracked me up. So anytime the song comes up, I'm like, Jordan, here's your song. And she does like the first few lines. It's great. Describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be, sir?
As my kids have gotten older, we have gotten to travel internationally. Mm. And so our favorite thing is to never do a planned tour, just to go and figure it out on our own. So like together, where should we have dinner? Well, between the four of us, we're Googling or TripAdvisoring and we'll fall into whatever. And we always have a blast, like nice. Just kind of winging it as a family.
Love it, man. That's great. That's really cool. And that's another great lesson you're teaching your kids, how to be adaptable, right? So
yeah,
love it. This might be tough because you've worked on the series and of course you're no stranger to Disney and just the production and all that. Favorite Mickey character in the series? Do you have one?
Gosh, that's tough, but I really, Mickey Mouse is my favorite.
Nice, man. And lastly, top three words you hope your kids would use to describe you as a dad. What would they be?
I guess decency, respect, pride.
Nice. Great three words right there. People, make sure you check out the primetime special Mickey the Brave. It premieres July 16th at 7:30 on Disney Junior. The series debuts August 20th, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard and, of course, Pacific Time on Disney Channel and Disney Junior. I've put links here on the show notes page. Phil, I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to chat with me. It was really cool learning about your fatherhood journey and, of course, the new series, Mickey Mouse Funhouse. You know, I got to preview a couple of the first episode, and it was great. And I know that, like you said, kids will enjoy it, and so will parents too. So big shout out to you for having, a show that parents can watch as well. And again, I wish you and your family continued success, sir.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to theartoffatherhood.net.